to prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial. In other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never seen before. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. Purport. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, "Where is your Lord? Is he present in this pillar?" Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly replied, "Yes, my Lord is present everywhere." Therefore, to convince Hiranyakashipu that the statement of Prahlad Maharaj was unmistakably true, the Lord appeared from the pillar. The Lord appeared as half lion and half man, so that Hiranyakashipu could not understand whether the great giant was a lion or a human being. To substantiate Prahlad's statement, the Lord proved that his devotee, as declared in Bhagavad Gita, is never vanquished. Konteya pradijanihi nami bhakta pranashyati. Prahlad Maharaj's demoniac father had repeatedly threatened to kill Prahlad, but Prahlad was confident that he could not be killed since he was protected by the Supreme Lord. By appearing from the pillar, the Lord encouraged his devotee, saying in effect, "Don't worry, I'm present here." By manifesting his form as Narasimhadev, the Lord also preserved the truth of Lord Brahma's promise that Hiranyakashipu was not to be killed by any animal or any man. The Lord appeared in a form that could not be said to be fully a man or a lion. Wonderful. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyari Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vaishnavi Gauravinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Kippfenster so ein bisschen zu öffnen. So, Hare Krishna, we will hear a little bit about Lord Narasimhadev now. It is said in this verse in Purport that there are actually three reasons for the Lord to appear. The first was he wanted to give a proof that the words of his devotee Prahlad Maharaj were factual and truth. They're truthful or true. Prahlad Maharaj had answered Hiranyakashipu upon the question where the Lord was present. He just given a simple answer. He said, everywhere. At that time, Hiranyakashipu, who was not really convinced, had said, "This is really nonsense. The Lord cannot be present everywhere." And he had pointed at the pillar and said, "Is he there in the pillar?" And Prahlad Maharaj had answered, "Yes, he is." So Lord Nrisingadev proved that by coming out of the pillar. The next thing he proved is his own statement in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says, "Kunteya pratijanihi nami bhakta pranashyati." My devotees will always be protected. And the last reason for Lord Nrisingadev to appear in such a wonderful form was to really preserve the truth of Lord Brahma's promise that Hiranyakashipu could not be killed at the daytime or the night time, not by a man and also not by an animal. So Lord Nrisingadev thought, "Oh, Lord Brahma has given this promise. I shall not break it. I will not appear as a man, nor will I appear as an animal. I will appear half man, half animal." And so he had kept all these conditions intact and proved so many things with this appearance. When devotees in our Krishna consciousness movement think about Lord Nrisingadev, the first Leela which comes to their mind is this Leela which is also described in the seventh canto, that is that the Lord really came and killed this ferocious demon Hiranyakashipu. Such devotees might also remember that after Hiranyakashipu was liberated by Lord Nrisingadev, his army, who were bereft of their king, planned really to revenge the death of their leader, and therefore they attacked with full strength and with all the weapons. But Lord Nrisingadev just effortlessly, with his many hands, killed the whole army, it seemed. There's this picture which I want to show to you. I hope you will be able to sleep afterwards. It was really intense, you know. Here you see a whole army approaching Lord Nrisingadev, who has become like fire and who will easily take care of everyone. So very often devotees in the Hare Krishna movement have this image before them that Lord Nrisingadev is the Lord of drastic action, the Lord of protection of his devotees. And very often this admittingly very wild activity of killing the demons is prominent in the mind of the devotees when they think of Lord Nrisingadev. Today I would like to raise the question, is this really all which is to their, which all which is there to Lord Nrisingadev? Is he really predominantly the Lord of, let me say, blood-filled action, or the Lord of, almost martial arts and so on? Is this the essence of Lord Nrisingadev? To answer this question, I would like to tell you a little bit about Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna has many, many qualities, but the most outstanding of all his qualities is what is referred to as Bhakta Vatsala. That is, he is the friend of the loving friend of his devotee. Lord Krishna relates to his devotees in five primary rasas, in which he is really only concerned for the devotees' welfare. And he also relates to his devotees in seven secondary rasas or relationships, of which the fear-inspiring rasa, the fearfulness, Bhayankara, is something like Bhayankara, something like this. He who makes fear, who is one. Now, whereas, let me say, these seven rasas are usually temporary. You know, just like when someone is intense and fear-inspiring, Bhayankara, then that is usually a temporary aspect. He's not always, you know, fear-inspiring. He has his private life where he sits at home, eats ships, anything, and is just very privately very happy, and so on. It's very interesting that Lord Nrisimhadev's fear-inspiring aspect is also only a passing mood. It is there because he is totally the friend of his devotees, and as he has seen that this demoniac person, Hiranyakashipu, has threatened his devotee, therefore he becomes just very, 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 very intense, so to say, in his mood. Today I looked up a very nice verse where this becomes very clear. After Hiranyakashipu has been killed, the demigods come forward and they see the Lord is sitting there on the throne. He has many, many, many arms, and he's just so wild that the whole universe is becoming afraid and is becoming totally shocked. It said Lord Nrisimhadev assumed such a, was so heavy that the planet Earth was pushed down and the elephants on it started to shriek. Wah! Wah! It was just so heavy. The demigod thought, well, somehow we must pacify the anger of the Lord. And one of the great demigods who approached him was actually Shiva. And Shiva said something, Lord, it's not time for your anger. The end of the millennium is the time for your anger, you know, when the whole universe is destroyed. But this is not now. Please, my dear Lord, this anger of yours had its purpose. The demon was killed, but now, you know, don't be so angry, because the whole universe will go up in flames if this continues. Shiva says, now that this insignificant demon, Hiranyakashipu, has been killed, O my Lord, who are naturally affectionate to your devotee, kindly protect his son Prahlad Maharaj, who's standing nearby as your fully surrendered devotee. In other words, Lord Shiva, who's extremely knowledgeable about the Lord and his Leela, said, you know, this insignificant demon is now killed, but now please come back to your prominent mood, which is always there in your heart. You know, just maybe like when we see a good someone who is close and near to us, and he gets into something, then we will tell him, "Ah, calm down, you know, become who you always are." We may say this to someone who is close and near. So Lord Shiva, being the best of the Lord's devotees, here says, "My dear Lord, it's over, it's over. Hiranyakashipu has been taken away now. Now come back to your usual mood, which is that you are very affectionate for your devotees." And you can see the Lord in this mood here on the altar. He has put his devotee, whom he loves so much, on his lap. And his hand is in the mood of installing abhaya, fearlessness. The Lord is not really in the mood that no one can approach him. I think no one of us has this feeling. When the Lord had just finished with Hiranyakashipu, he was in a mood where not even Lakshmi, his dear wife, could come close. But imagine the Lord would be like this on the altar. We would not feel any inspiration in our heart to even put our foot into Nrisimha Chetra. It would be too much. And there are forms of Lord Nrisimhadev which are worshipped, which seem to be so intense that the whole year they're covered with sandalwood and you can't see them, because the Lord is in this way pacified and cooled down. But our Lord Nrisimhadev is in the mood where he is displaying of all his symptoms, not the secondary rasa, that is the fear instilling rasa, the Bhayankara rasa. No, but here he is in the mood of a Bhakta Vatsala, the friend and the protector of his devotee, and everyone who comes to see him will see his right hand raised in the mood of blessing and of giving fearlessness. When we deal or when we think about Lord Nrisimhadev, it's where Sri Nrisimhadeva ki jai. When we think of Lord Nrisimhadev, it is very, very important for us to see him not, let me say, as just a Lord whom we call for our own protection. Almost like one devotee said it, we don't want to make Lord Nrisimhadev our Chokidar. Chokidar means our, how do you call this, doorkeeper, our Türwächter oder Rauschmeißer. No, we know when we want to approach Lord Nrisimhadev. He is the all-merciful Lord who is the friend of his devotees. When we visited Ahobalam, several years back, and visited this one temple where Ugra Nrisimha is, we saw on a side altar a woman. And we were amazed and found up and asked, who is this? And we got the information, this is Chenchu. Who was Chenchu? Well, Chenchu was a tribal girl who just loved Lord Nrisimhadev. You know, if you see Lord Nrisimhadev, he has this broad smile and this very attractive eyes. And she just loved him. And she was a tribal. Tribal means a forest girl. She was a simple forest girl. You know, this is how she carried herself. And she just desired, I wish so much that my Lord comes with me through the forest, runs through the nice fresh rivers, smell some nice flowers. I want a forest lord, you know, and a like a partner who shares with me the experience of forest life and who eats herbs and forest fruits and so on. So one day this Chenchu, who was just very wonderful, was on one side of a river in the beautiful forest area. She had her bow with her, and all of a sudden she saw how the forest parted at the other side of the river. In other words, someone was coming. And as she looked quite interested, who will I meet today in the lonely forest? Maybe she was even feeling a little threatened, or who this is. She saw actually Lord Nrsingadev on the other side of the river. Lord Nrsingadev crossed the river and said, "My dear devotee, you have for so long prayed to me to be with you and enjoy the forest life. Let us go through the forest." And this way they walked around in the forest for a long time, and Chenchu actually experienced the same feelings which a girl experiences in relationship to a lover, you know, just so affectionate and so much attachment to the Lord. And in this way, she actually became known later as the companion of Lord Nrsingadev. She became elevated to the ecstatic status of Lakshmi, and is therefore worshipped today as Chenchu Lakshmi. If you go to Ahobilam, you should not feel surprised to find her altar, where she sits alone, that forest girl who got the association of the Lord Nrsingadev. This is one of the many, 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 many stories where the Lord appears for his devotee as Bhaktavatsala, the friend who fulfills all the desires, even the desire of a forest girl who wants, you know, so such nice nature. Lord Nrsingadev, come and see. Most probably, yes, she had shown him all the hills and the rivers in this place called Ahobilam, which is very has a really wild nature. So Lord Nrsingadev, and that's very important for us to understand, is a Lord whose main and predominant mood is Bhaktavatsala. Therefore, in a previous millennium, he was worshipped by Brahma as the main Lord. You know, in this millennium, or this age, Lord Brahma worships whom? I could not understand. Jagannath? Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Vajami. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Vajami. He was alone on the lotus and had existential fears. There was no one around him. The universe was not created. He just found himself there, and then he heard the voice perform tapasya, and at the end, when he did so, he had a realization of the Lord in Goloka Vrindavan as Govinda. In a previous age, however, Lord Brahma worshipped Lord Nrsimhadev. That was his Ishta Devata, or main, the Lord whom he liked. So this is the mood of Lord Nrsimhadev, which I wanted to bring out for your own interest. Do you know that when Lord Gauranga appeared, Lord Nrsimhadev had a lot to do with his appearance? We hear that Advaita Acharya desperately wanted the Lord to appear, and one day he came upon a verse which said that the Lord is satisfied with anyone who offers him a little Ganga water and a tulsi leaf. So he immediately started to make this his prime worship. He took his Shila and offered to the Shila Ganga water and Tulasi Devi. Do you know who the Shila was? There are many Shilas. Govinda, Matsya, Kurma, Varaha. He worshipped Lord Nrsimhadev. That's the fact. That this was a Shila which you can still see, whom you can still see, I believe, in Shantipur. The Shila is worshipped. It's about this size. It's really a big Shila. And yes, the Lord decided to appear like this. Now, another devotee of the Panchatattva also worshipped Lord Nrsimhadev. His name is Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur had heard the rumor that the king's men would come and capture him. Some of you, I have heard the rumor that if you come to Nrsimha Chetra, you will get hepatitis and die. There was such a rumor in the computer. We found the rumor like a ghost going through the conference, and this is an unfounded rumor. It is not a correct rumor, like many rumors are. But when a rumor is out, the nature of the rumor is it agitates the mind. If I, for instance, now would start one rumor about someone here in the room, you would become highly agitated and would not be able to sleep until you have clarified it with me. If you want, I could make an experiment with one of you and start a terrible rumor about him. I won't do this because we had a holy place. But rumors have this. They get into your mind, and then if it's a real good rumor, it begins to agitate you and churn you up and throw you down and so on. So there was this rumor in Navadvip that any moment the king's men would come, and that means the soldiers, and to just capture Srivas Thakur and bring him and his whole family for severe punishment to the king, because it was not allowed really to practice Krishna consciousness so openly. Anyways, this was the rumor, and Srivas Thakur one morning was worshipping the deity when all of a sudden he heard a loud knocking at the door. It was very loud. He said, "I better don't open. These are for sure the soldiers who have come to kill me." Also, Srivas Thakur, another reading says, he was totally absorbed in his puja that he could not, he just couldn't hear. Anyways, after some time, the door was kicked open. Bang! And when he looked to the entrance of the door, he saw Lord Chaitanya in a very intense mood. There was the light of many suns. Then Lord Chaitanya went to the altar and said, "Don't be afraid," sat down on the altar and took the assumed the form of Lord Narsingadev. This was really the first time when Lord Chaitanya showed his divine opulences in the form which he decided to manifest. The form which he decided to show was the form of Lord Narasimhadev. And in this form he installed fearlessness in the heart of his dear devotee Srivas Thakur. So you can see here that the Lord has somehow this motivation or this inner interest to be the friend of his devotees and to be as such a reliable friend. Reliable means you can count on the Lord. When Advaita Acharya had called for an appearance of the Lord, he came, Lord Gauranga came, and he showed himself first. He showed that he is that Lord in the form of Narasimhadev, the same form which was worshipped by Advaita Acharya. Hare Krishna, Haridas, I thought for a moment you are Krishna Chetra. So this is a very, very nice and lovable point, which is very important for our life. It means also something for us. It means that we understand how dear the devotee of the Lord is to the Lord. That there is a very nice prayer collection where Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, and one of these prayers is very remarkable. Lord Narasimhadev had just offered Prahlad Maharaj any blessing which he wanted to have. Can you imagine what would happen if the Lord would appear to you and ask, "I give you anything you want"? I just a while ago received a letter from a few devotees from America who had spent an evening inside the river. Yes, they had gone on some stones on the river, and they had discussed with themselves, amongst themselves. And one devotee all of a sudden said, "Imagine now the Lord would appear and he would ask us, 'What do you want? You talk so nicely about us. Well, what do you want?'" And what do you want? This is a question. Prahlad Maharaj was asked this question, and he answered in the 7th canto, chapter 9, you will find this answer, text 28, in a very nice and instructive way. He said, "Evam janam nimpatitam prabhavahi kupe kama vikamam anuya prapatan prasangat kritvatma sat suvashina bhagavan grihita soham katam nuvisite tava pritya sevam." He said, "My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Narasimhadeva ki jai, because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was gradually going down. I was falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace." He said, "I was on my way down, like everyone else. But your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, My first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? In other words, Prahlad Maharaj prayed to the Lord that he might continue to engage in his service of his spiritual master Narada Muni. I really feel that this is an important point of our Krishna conscious philosophy, that we like to be identified not so much as a servant of Krishna directly, but we like to be identified as the servant of the servant of Lord Krishna. This identification is more to the liking of the Lord, and this identification is naturally also more to the liking of the devotee. If you wish to make spiritual advancement, it's very important that in some ways you begin to think deeper about this point of becoming the servant of the devotees first. By becoming the servant of the devotees, there are many blessings which you can get, blessings which you do not obtain if you become want to become the servant of the Lord directly. One very powerful blessing which the devotees give to their servants is that by serving a devotee, you will get the mood of bhakti in your heart. Without the service of a devotee, you will not get that mood of a vibrant bhakti in your heart, which really is hidden in the heart of the devotees. Sometimes devotees who are quite well established in our philosophy say, I don't want to have Krishna. Of course they want to have Krishna, but they say it like this: I don't want to have Krishna, I want bhakti for Krishna. Because if you don't have bhakti, then Krishna could be directly in front of your eyes and you would not be able to recognize him. Without love for Krishna, you cannot see Lord Krishna. And there are many examples in the scriptures. Like, for instance, when Krishna had appeared, there were not so many who recognized him as the Supreme Lord. Even Duryodhana, who was highly intelligent, could not have pleasure when he saw Lord Krishna. When Lord Krishna came to for peace talks to avoid the battle of Kurukshetra, he came right before Duryodhana to convince him to give some little land to the Pandavas. But Duryodhana could not recognize Lord Krishna. Finally, when Lord Krishna said to Duryodhana, well, if you are against the Pandavas, then you are against me. Duryodhana laughed and said, yes, so what is the problem being against you? We will now imprison you, Vasudev. And he got his men, and they wanted to really capture Lord Krishna and bind him and throw him in the prison. Hare Krishna. He had no bhakti in his heart. You know, Lord Krishna at that time displayed his universal form, so the people who wanted to bind him had difficulties to decide which arm to start with. Even then, Duryodhana thought, it's a hallucination. Vasudev knows some magical feats. No problem. And so on. So this is really very important. To serve Krishna, and to recognize Krishna, you need bhakti in your heart. And this bhakti lives and prospers in the heart of his devotees. Therefore, the devotee will say, like Prahlad Maharaj, I want to there may be blessings which you have offered me, but my real desire is to be a servant of a devotee. Narada Muni here in this case. So, Hare Krishna, this is what I wanted to say today. Krishna accords his devotees Bhaktavatsala. Krishna is known as Bhaktavatsala, the dear friend of his devotees. And we should recognize the position of the devotees fully for our own spiritual advancement. This I wanted to say today, and let me see if there's now possibility to ask some questions on this, but I want to just call the pujaris. Oh, pujarijis!